Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We do this every single week, two times a week, and we have done so for quite some time now. We've been around for 5 years on Columbus's best local community radio station, WCRS. We're so happy that the people there have supported us and stood behind us as we continue to take over the world in a way that creates a more level playing field for all of us, and that strips away the power from the bankers and the oligarchs and puts it right back in the hands of the people that are bringing all the prosperity to us, the working class. You know, we're not NPR. We aren't going to tell you about how to invest $100,000. We don't have savings accounts. We're here to talk about what's actually happening in the world for those of us that aren't blessed enough to be born in a coastal city. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. We are going to be live, fucking up the airwaves, screaming at the man, and doing something completely outrageous like you've never seen before in Columbus, Ohio. Cafe Kerouac, Street Fight goes live for the first time at 7 o'clock. Be there. We're going to start chatting it up at 7 p.m. Everything cuts on, and you'll be able to see us do it as we do in 3D, completely IRL, away from, you know, your iPod. We're going to be right there, and we're going to go live on Periscope. I might change this, and you probably want to pay close attention, but Periscope seems to be the most stable and the most freest way to do this. So follow us at Street Fight WCRS on Twitter to get that update. And I'm going to try to work on maybe getting Justin to share some of the links after everything gets started. So look for that on June 10th. You'll be able to watch us live as well. And, you know, I'm getting excited as we count down. This is like two shows until we start.
Yeah. Yeah, we got two more. We got two more of these shows before we, right?
Yeah, yeah. Two more street fights and then we go live. You're going to get, we're going to work on getting the audio recording. I hope to make it happen. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure everyone gets it. That's our promise, is you'll get to hear what we do for free on here. We're going to be working on video as well. That's all to come. Thank you to everyone that's donated and got us here. I also want to say to Spoonful Records there in Columbus, Ohio, thank you for sharing a link to our live show. Go give them a like on Facebook. Also, What the Rock, really good shop to get handmade jewelry and rock and roll memorabilia and really cool, fun stuff from an independent retailer there on High Street. So check them out as well. They spread the word about Street Fight, and we're going to be in Columbus Alive, the big cool paper in the city that covers most important things that are happening in the city and in the alternative universe. So lots of great things happen for Street Fight. Like, I feel like my intro is getting way longer.
I know. Pretty soon, I'm just going to be like, all right, well, I guess we did it.
It's just going to be an announcement of events and accolades for about 59 minutes, and then you can come see us live. We hope to take this show on the road and continue going on.
Yeah. That's not that long. You didn't go... I think just 4 minutes. That's...
Yeah, it's nothing.
Oh, man. Yeah, nothing. We still got 56 left to do. Man, we're still... I think it's no secret that we record these shows, like, 2 days in a row. I know we don't like to say that. We're still in, like... People are still real mad about the gorilla right now. So I don't know when you're getting this. People are still mad about that.
It's maybe died down some, you know? I mean,
a little bit.
You know, I don't want to take animals into captivity. I still end up going to look at these things, but I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, we need to start having a conversation about these. Like you said, even that blackfish came out and like they didn't shut it down. They tried to, but nothing happened. You know, a lot of nothing happened.
I didn't even see blackfish, and I wanted to close SeaWorld after it came out because a lot of people were like, "Have you seen blackfish?" So, like, if a lot of people tell me to see a documentary, I usually am just like, they probably got it figured out.
Yeah, I don't have the stomach for that.
Yeah.
I'm a sensi.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an empath. You just tell me how you felt when you watched it. Just relay it to me. I wish I would have done that like a lot earlier in my life, actually. Like, just tell me how Food Inc. made you feel. I might still be eating McDonald's had I not watched that movie.
Sure, sure. It happens. There's those big moments in media. But like when that's the same here. I think that people still think they know what it's like to think like a gorilla, or that like a gorilla thinks at all. And you know, there's lots of statements coming out, but you know, I don't know. We're moving on.
I don't know.
I don't know why. So, I don't want to talk about the gorilla.
I don't want to talk about the gorilla either. So I wanted to start the show out. I forgot what I was gonna say, and then I remembered it. I'm lifting, Brett. I'm driving the Lyft now.
Oh wow.
So I'm a terrible person because I know those companies are bad, but I gotta drive the Lyft.
You're a scabby. You're like a scabby.
Is that a scab? Am I a scab?
I don't know.
For driving a Lyft?
No, I was just trying to. I know that I've seen a lot of people write like these passionate screeds online about how we need to protect the right of, you know, the cities to require people pay $1 million to get a taxi license.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any of the politics behind it, really. We've talked about it before, but I do know that I need money.
That
and
helps.
Lyft is Lyft is willing to give me money if I can work on my own schedule. I can just be like, oh yeah, I feel like working now, which is really good because it actually is making me work more, which is something I never thought I would do. I kind of like it. I'd obviously rather not be doing it. If somebody can get me a big giant fat, you know, couple $100 a week, I'd probably be like, all right, I'll quit.
Sure.
I'll help you take down the company.
If you win the lottery, you're not going to keep driving for Lyft.
No. I probably won't even use a Lyft. I'll probably ride a limo, actually, if I win the lottery.
Definitely.
Of course. Hummer, stretched Humvee if I win the lottery. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, Uber is run by some shit people. I mean, if you look behind, like, the guy that runs it, he's like a weird eugenicist and, like, treat people bad. I've only heard horrible shit about Uber, but for me, I still, you know, I guess it's unfortunate that these cabbie people had a monopoly on this market, but I don't really want to stand around to keep red tape in place for being able to go on my phone and get a car to come. And like the truth about it is that I know that they got the mobile apps now and they advertise their new scanning machines. But like a decade ago, those things were fucked up and you were scamming so much goddamn money out of me. I remember the last time a fucking cabbie said to me, hey, if you just give me $30 cash, we can just squash this. And I'm just like, that's like, I just don't want to deal with them. I just never felt like it wasn't shit. I know they've modernized it now, but fuck, man, I'd rather just, you know, get it on this app.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like if the license was easy to get and I could work any hours I wanted to, then I don't care. I'll get a cab license, you know, if that was the way it was. But it's probably, it seems like that a lot of work, man.
Definitely, yeah. Barriers. I don't think I don't think you have the, like, constitution to go through that much bureaucracy probably to even get that.
Yeah.
Or like, work for somebody else buys the rights to run the cabs in town and then you're under like their authority. Yeah. It just is like, it's, if people want to get in that system, if people trust the cabs and want to do it, like, I understand that, but where's the freedom and liberty to have people to be like, I'll take my chances with this app where they just get other people to drive. You know,
listen to Ron Paul over there,
right here,
screaming about freedom and liberty,
market anarchy, folks. There should be a marketplace of ride shares, the same way that Airbnb is like, you know, it's a more dangerous version. They have a super nice Hojo and Marriott on every fucking square inch of this earth, and you can go get your little sanitized experience wherever you want to go. But like, can you stop stamping out everybody else?
Yeah, I think Airbnb is also like, I don't know why. I guess there's probably a million. I wish I followed the arguments on these things, really. I got to tell you the truth. I can't really travel and I have my own car and I live in a pretty drivable city.
Yeah.
So like,
you don't have a need for it. I mean, you know, my wife uses it a lot. A lot of people and use it to get around town. And it is like easy money. I think that's really why I don't hear the only complaints I hear about it are people are like, they're taking away union jobs. That's why I called you a scabby, is because like taxi cab drivers are like union in the Bay Area and Chicago and some of the other areas, like the big cities. So it's like a big deal to get that job, I guess.
Well, I mean, listen, if the big cities want to do with whatever the big cities do, I'm perfectly fine with that. But we've never had the kind of access to any kind of taxis in Columbus, Ohio until that we do now with, you know what I mean? Like the way that people are taking them. They just, you know, you had to call them on the telephone and have them come to your house.
Well, exactly. And for me, it's also really like, I love this because it's Street Fight is living the life here. Like, this isn't us coming to you and speculating on how people are getting by these days. I, you know, if you listened long enough, you heard when I was a bike builder during the Christmas season for Walmart. We've spent plenty of time doing things that, you know, maybe not even add up to politically with things that we've said, but this is the real world, you know, like this is how people are getting by. And I think that I don't see many people complaining because, like you said, it's completely flexible. The people that I know were like, they said Uber sucks. They said Uber is oppressive as hell and they're always trying to get money out of you and it feels like you're being scolded. But Lyft is, you know, you're allowed to tip. Like, that's one thing is I got Erica to switch over to Lyft and now she tips all the people. So now she's like handing out extra $5 bills and that's coming from the corporate account, you know?
Dang. I didn't know that. I didn't know stuff comes from the corporate account. I'm liking that. But yeah, I like I said, I don't know what the logistics of the bigger cities are or anything like that. It works here. It works for me. And I need the money. Like, and I wanted a job that was flexible. I want to be able to say, hey, I'm working. This is perfect for me. I would never get this money if I had to get another job. You know, if I had to go and get another job and they had to set up hours, it would just send me in a tailspin. I like this model of like, hey, I just worked and made all the money I need. Now I'm done.
Yeah. And I can turn it off. Or like, yeah, now things are short and I can just get into it. And the problem is really is that everyone's been sputtering along. I think there's an argument to be made and we complain about it. You know, this is another independent contractor situation. They strip away all the benefits. They strip away all of the fucking safety net that you have of a regular job and just make you do straight up piecework for money. But I remember friends' parents working at like the Burger King shift from like midnight to 4 a.m. Like that was the only way. Yeah. Like it was the same way. Like people has been having second jobs since jobs been around. It's not like it's a burgeoning market on taking advantage of us. Like most people that we're scraping to get by, you're right, are working. They just need $200. Like that would change their world. My world, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my dad worked at a department store every year around Christmas as like a second job. And this year my wife worked at Macy's around Christmas for a second job. And she was putting in 16, sometimes 17 hour days. Cause she was going to her day job, her real job. And then she was going to Macy's and it's like, she didn't even make enough money to make it worth it. Really. I mean, I'm going to make more money doing this than she did there.
Well, Macy's, you're stuck under someone else telling you what to do. And there's rules. You can get fired and chewed out and all kinds of shit for not, you know, once you're getting into that, if you don't want to come in or you don't feel like it or you don't need the money. I mean, my mom worked when we moved to the big old suburbs from downtown Columbus, we moved and my mom had to work at the fucking steakhouse. She waited tables a few nights a week, like before we ever got on our feet. I mean, that's just, this has really been what it is for a long time now. And I think it is like, I wish I could get it. I can't drive here because I have my license is too new. So they won't let me even be a Lyft driver, but I would totally be taking that money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, I'm not missing time with my kid or anything either, which is super cool. It's like, I can do this later on and like after she's in bed. So this is perfect, man. But like I said, I'm quitting as soon as I have enough money. As soon as I make enough money to be comfortable, done. I don't need this anymore. I'm not like super attached to it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And if the company gets smashed by the Black Bloc, you're not going to cry a tear or anything.
No, that would be awesome. So, and speaking of getting smashed, Brett, in China, I just saw this story. Some artist spent 3 days and $15,000 to build a Lego statue. And some kid, some young 4 to 5 year old kid smashed it in like 3 minutes. And I just want to say, like, we'd like to take him under our wing.
You think he has a natural gift?
Yeah, he has what it takes, man. He has what it takes to smash stuff. And, you know, it's very, you know, most kids would be afraid to knock down a Lego statue like that. I guess not really, man.
No, that's what's so great about them. Yeah, they're not really interested at all. They can just pretend they see one and they're as satisfied.
Yeah, it was an accident for the kid. So I guess, but man, that's got to be fucked up. That's almost as bad as getting the bear killed. These kids are going out and just screwing everything up. They're breaking the Lego statues and getting bears killed.
But you mean the monkey?
Gorillas.
The gorilla.
We at the beginning of the show we talked about the gorilla, and then I already forgot that it was a gorilla.
Yeah, but that's how it is, man. We were all one. I think that you have to accept that. It's good. It's a good lesson on impermanence, really. It's something you can't be mad about. You know, I'm stuck living with a young kid right now, and you can't really fault them for being as stupid as they are because they came from basically being tadpoles inside of, you know, somebody else that didn't know shit about shit. You know,
yeah, yours is also like wild, like you taught her to be.
She's feral.
I don't know, like tough. Yeah, she's tough. She bouncing off of stuff and
I shove her. I shove her off stuff. I make her jump off stuff to get hurt so she knows what it's like. I'm like, you can jump off that one. And if I know it's too much, I'm like, you can jump off that one. Let her see what it's like to have that knee come up too quick and hit her in the ear, and then she knows next time how to land.
Oh, man, I was kind of like that, too. Like, I'm having a real, like, struggle I want my kid to be more independent. But, like, people tend to, I mean, a lot of parents now are, like, going in the opposite direction of that.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like.
No, it's like a lifelong bonding thing now.
Yeah, it's like swimming against the tide because I'm like, man. You know, I want my kid to be able to handle the world. Like, I think once she got to, like, the age she is now, I'm like, now it's time to start preparing. It's time to start preparing for, like, being older. You know what I mean?
No, like, this is bedrock stuff, man. You have to start teaching. Like, this is about how people relate with each other. This is about how, like, you conduct yourself. This is about, even for me, like, you know, what you like, you can get a jump on what you want to do. As someone that was like really delayed at performing and things like that, to just have someone say, like, when you're really young, like, if you want to do that and you start right now, you're going to be like way ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I like my kid is playing saxophone now. So, like, I think I'm hoping she gets real good at that because I want her to play Careless Whisper for me a lot.
Okay. I mean, that's a tactic. You got to make sure that's what she wants. She's going to pour herself into but yeah, I mean, that's a good plan.
But yeah, so for me, it's like, I want you to go out. Like when I was like 12 years old, I would go out. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. Am I repeating something on the radio, Brett?
Who knows? I haven't heard it yet.
Like an old man. No, I want her to go out and run around the neighborhood like I did. Which I think I was doing when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It was
just
way
running
young.
Around the neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. There's no like older kids that can corrupt her or anything.
I think she's afraid of older kids. Oh. That's the other issue. It's like these kids are afraid of older kids, which I was too. I got to admit, older kids are scary as hell. I mean, like everybody's afraid of teenagers. And for my kid, older kids are teenagers now. You know, It's not, she's not going to run into like an 11-year-old. She's going to be talking, we're talking 13 or 14. That's like an adult to them. They might be drinking beer by that age.
But I corrupted some 10-year-olds when I was like 13 or 14. Like, I still corrupted other kids in the neighborhood and gave them BB guns.
You got
them
to be bad?
Yeah, let them shoot their first BB gun. Like, you know, tried booze, you know, stuff like that. I mean, just, I guess there's just a neighbor. I had a neighborhood gang, to be honest, and I guess she doesn't have that, but she should be tearing up the town. I was absolutely raising hell at her age.
Yeah.
She's still so not like young and naive and not really have a motive, but she could really wild out at this point. Like, we used to ride I remember one time riding my bike like all the way across the city, you know, just because like I had the whole day to do it. And I would like, yeah, we can ride our bikes for 4 hours and then we'll turn around and ride our bikes back. And then mom will be home as we're like getting home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, my parents were not about setting up like play dates. Like, they were just never going to talk. My parents didn't want to talk to anybody else's parents. That was like probably a nightmare for them, talking to other people's parents. I'm just getting used to like having to talk to other people's parents to set things up. You know?
Yeah, it's tough, man. You really just have to go with it though and just step into the role. You can't really dance around. You just got to like take the lead. I deal with a lot. No. I meet people all the time, like all the time at playgrounds. They like just enter your life and like it's kind of like this courting thing. Like, do I like you enough? Does your kid have charm? I think they're going to corrupt my kid, you know?
Is your kid going to beat my kid up? Like, right. That's always like the, it seems like whenever I was at the park, all the parents would kind of gather with each other and be like mad at one kid. You know what I mean? That's the kid that's doing it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens. That's not where I'm at, I guess. And you shouldn't be having play dates for your kid. Kid should be finding friends on her own.
No, I know that. She's, I would never, I don't, that. I can't do it.
But
now,
you do have to like,
but
coordinate,
I mean, you still
like,
have to talk to
them. Shit. Yeah. Who's going to buy popsicles for after the game?
Well, if they want to stay the night somewhere, it's like my parents didn't talk to the parents, but that's probably also, you know, what encouraged me to not actually go to the places I was saying I was staying the night at.
It helped.
Yeah.
It's different. It's weird because you're in completely uncharted territory. And there are a lot of people that have like good ass regular old parents. But, you know, it's hard to imagine anything else. Like, this seems like new to us to say it out loud. Like, you know, you support them, you pay attention, you don't ignore them or neglect them is like, just seems like revolutionary. And I mean, for a lot of people, like they just weren't brought up in that. Like even dads are still, it's a joke that dads are involved in their kids' lives.
I think that they're a lot more involved now than they were, you know. I think I've read that actually they're more involved, but it's all leisure time. Like the dads tend to take up all the leisure time, and I'm kind of guilty of that stuff too. Like I'll let my wife do all of the crappy stuff. Oh, you're gonna take her to the orthodontist.
Yeah. You guys can really like bond that over taking a bath.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I mean, but she, like, that's the weird thing. Like sometimes I guess maybe I'm not the best person to go to the dentist or the doctor because I'm scared as fuck of dentists and doctors. Like I fucking melt down when I go to the doctor for myself. So what am I supposed to say to a kid that's melting down at the doctor? You know, it's like,
you're not the expert.
Don't worry about it. It's not that good. Don't worry about it. He's not going to tell you you have cancer or anything. Like,
well, but some people do get cancer in the jaw. I just remembered that.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm at the doctor, I'm melting down. I either pinched a nerve or I'm melting down in my old age. Like, those are the two things that send me to the doctor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's like that. It's just the new way of doing things, and oh, I had a salient point that I just forgot.
That's okay, man. I think I smoked a little bit more weed than usual tonight, and that's just something I did. I'm sorry. I'm gonna apologize.
Went
to the listeners
too far
of the show. Yeah, sometimes you do that, man. Sometimes you, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I remember what it was. I got it.
Okay, you tell me.
I got it. I think that parents now, sometimes, I think, explain too much to their kids where they make them apprehensive. So, like, when you're going to the dentist, you're going to be like, I don't know, maybe he'll drill out all your teeth. Maybe he'll yank them out with a truck. You know, like, you're naming all of this crazy stuff instead of just, like, telling them, like, you have to do it and you're going to be fine. When you start, like, yeah. I don't know, I feel like sometimes I see parents that paralyze their kids. Like, oh, I don't know if you should do that because something bad could happen. It's like, maybe it won't, though? I don't know. Like, now, yeah. Now you've set some sort of, you set something up in their mind where they're now unsure about decisions, you know?
Yeah. I remember I got my wisdom teeth pulled, and my parents were like, ugh, get your wisdom teeth pulled.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm exactly what I do not... You know, let it be its own experience and don't tell someone it's going to be miserable.
Worst thing in the world is getting your fucking wisdom teeth pulled, son. You're going to fucking hate it. It's going to be terrible.
So you got raked over the coals leading up to, you were like in agony before the act.
Yeah, well, they put you to sleep. That's the only way. I mean, like, I was probably shaking like a leaf. But, like, they ended up putting me to sleep and doing it. But, yeah, it was always tough, man, because, like, I think I have the same affliction, though, as my parents. Like, I'm not going to lie, man. You know, like, I don't like getting shots. So if you're getting a shot, I can't comfort you for getting a shot because I can't even watch the needle go in because it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with my own shit, kid.
We have to talk. Yeah, we have to talk to Katie about this because she's stuck in that position. She's the only one. You're completely unreliable in the suffering department.
I know. I am. I mean, like, I'll be there when she's in a... I'll be there if she's sick or something and she needs a dad or something. And I'll sit down and talk to her and be like, hey, you know, this is just a virus. You'll get over it. Everybody does and you'll heal. All right, now go to sleep. No.
I try
to be as heartless.
Yeah, you'll be there when she has, like, an identity crisis and, like, maybe a quarter-life crisis and doesn't know philosophically who she is. Like, you're the one to step in there.
Yeah. I don't know if she'll come to me for that. Like, that's the thing when you make – that's the thing when you make having a conversation with you a punishment, sometimes that can backfire on you.
Yeah, you gotta sharpen that. You gotta make that tool. You can't make it always a stick.
Yeah. Conversation can't. I mean, like, I don't punish her with conversations though anymore either. You know, like, I don't punish at all.
You have to. You're gonna have to start. I mean, at some point, you're gonna have to.
No, I mean, every year that goes by, and I don't really have to punish is like, but I will punish. But I mean, I can punish you with a conversation. You know, I can really. It can get long and tedious and uncomfortable very easily. I ask probing questions.
No, I understand. I agree. I mean, I think a conversation can be used as a punishment, but you got to be that salve too, man. You got to work on making it that aloe vera. You got to get that that soothing balm for those shots, man. You got to get over it. Like, it doesn't, it's just a shot.
She also asked me, this summer, I was asked if I could teach my kid how to grill, which is like, whoa, man, this is like the most dad thing that could ever possibly happen.
Yeah, this is an episode of a sitcom.
I know. I'm going to do it, though. I'm going to teach an 11-year-old how to grill. Do you think that's too early to teach somebody how to grill?
No, not at all. There's not even that much to it. A kid can understand it easily.
Yeah, my kid's afraid of fire, though, so she'll probably make me have to light the fire because she doesn't even light the stove. She won't even, like, turn the thing on the stove.
Brian, you know, please don't do your yellow-bellied... Please don't do the yellow-bellied thing. Make her do it. You have to make her do the whole thing. You can't let her get away
light
with it.
Light the fire?
Yes, you cannot. I have to... She can't. You have to be Samurai Code about this shit. You can't be letting. It's mastery of fire, man. This is like an important thing. You can't just let it be some choose your own adventure. I'll have someone else do it for me thing.
I need to make her walk the path like it's kung fu or yes. something. Like
this is providing for yourself.
Yeah, I get. Well, not really. It's really more recreational the way that I do it. You know, I don't do grilling like an outdoorsman. I do grilling like for luxury, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's providing luxury for yourself. It's also luxury. providing a reason to get like 12 people to come over. That's important. Like that's going to be important for her. If she can smoke a pork shoulder and you know, that's going to get her the raise she needs later in life when she has has her recipe down.
I'm not going to teach her that, and I'm not going to teach her my rub because that's a proprietary blend.
Oh, that's a proprietary shitty, dude.
Process. Wow. I don't want her to start her own.
You
got to
make her own develop. You got to make her develop her own. I agree with that too.
Yeah. What happens if she starts her own business with my idea? Then what's my business going to be? You know, making barbecue rub is my fallback plan.
Okay. I mean, I respect it. It's like that Jiro Loves Sushi guy. He made his eldest son go open his own damn sushi place.
Damn right, man. It's like Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood.
I mean, I respect it. You should. I mean, kids should learn how to cook. I think that's also one of the things we lost when, like, the 90s Kool-Aid fucking culture and boxed everything and microwave shit is we lost so much. A generation of people that like home ec got cut. I don't know where I doubt home ec's even taught anymore. It's just a joke on old sitcoms. Like because some boy doesn't want to take it. But like, I mean, that used to be like, I don't know. I feel like we've lost so much of that. The organic revolution is, you know, kind of a parody of itself at this point, but people still aren't doing enough cooking. I don't feel like don't have enough understanding of raw ingredients.
No, people are afraid of raw ingredients.
Right.
They almost
they want like a 30-minute meal. They want like boil and serve or like a heat them up.
And there is like I think I posted a headline. I didn't read the story. All right. I'm going to tell you this right now from this Facebook group called Intellectual Takeout that Brett turned me on.
Gem. Real fucking gem.
It's fucking honestly the worst website. It is.
It's intriguing.
People know that my Facebook feed is toxic. The most toxic thing on my Facebook feed is Intellectual Takeout. That website is insane. But
when I got hooked onto it, what made me subscribe is the first thing I ever read was this short article about we need to bring back people who, when they walked into a room, no one else talked, and about how there were some people that whatever they said goes and you had to do. And like, we need to respect like that. That's what we're missing. It was like this giant love letter to these basically old stoic grandpas that like make everybody shut up. and I was just like, wow, this is a twisted way of thinking. Completely.
Yeah.
Because it feels smart. Yeah. Like back in the day, we wouldn't dare talk about our lot in life. Our grandfather would shoot us a glance that would let him know that belt would be ripped from his waist in a hair's width. You know?
It's soft language. It's very like.
It is.
It's like if memes were being slightly more academic. It's like a meme with like a fifth grade level.
It's book report about it. Like it explains. It explains like a very kindergarten-y way of explaining why you should believe in some of the more conservative values.
Yeah.
Or like
I'm getting to the.
Get to your screenshot.
No, I'm getting to the story. I wanted to get to the story. It's about organic food, actually. Man.
I can't help you. My laptop went down. I lost my laptop. RIP. I don't have enough money to get it fixed, so I'm flying on old school, man. This is analog. Back in the day, you had to know shit. Like, I used to know everything about who made the best movies, all the, like, underground news and everything. You just had to know it. You would talk to people, and you would share that shit. All
right.
And you'd be impressed. Like, that was analog. That was crazy. That was just all brain power back then. No artificial intelligence of Google.
Yeah, I'm sorry about this, guys. I feel like, but this is the article. It's "My Kids Don't Eat Organic. Here's Why." So basically, the article.
To draw a line in the sand. I'm wondering now, why wouldn't you, huh?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what you want to wonder. Like, that's a clickbaity article. And one day as I was picking raspberries, my daughter ran ahead to pick alone. Given that she's a toddler, far more berries ended up directly in her mouth than in the pail. Ooh, that's, I mean, they still, you know. Okay.
Not paying.
still coming out of the ground. I'll say that. Oh, yeah, and not paying, thief. A farm worker approached us and told me, "You really should wash those before she eats them. There's a lot of junk and pesticides out here on the berries in particular." I laughed and teased about the farm status as organic, one of the few CSAs in the area that boasts of this. He looked at me grimly and reiterated the warning. What exactly is organic, and why do people pay sometimes 100% markup for the designation? And, so it says, "In my supermarket, there's a gullible section of the produce aisle." Oh, my God.
It's good. It's like, I'm smarter than you. You know what? They spray Roundup crops all over this, and it kills the bees, and they have a monopoly on the trademark of this corn. But I ain't paying a dollar goddamn more than I deserve to pay for a piece of fucking corn. Except yeah. They don't say fuck, because these are the intellectual takeout people. These are the smart ones. Oh, I shan't buy the organic if it's sprayed with chemicals.
They do reiterate that it's not labeled as the gullible aisle of the produce, but it says, but it might as well be. You can get bananas, cauliflower, lettuce, and more that looks exactly like that with their You can get bananas, cauliflower, lettuce, and more that looks and tastes exactly like their non-organic cousins, but for $1 more per item. Customers think it's healthier, and parents convince themselves that buying fewer fruits and vegetables but spending more is worth it to keep their children safe. First of all, people that are making the decision to buy the organic vegetables are not worried about that markup price, where it's like, am I going to be able to get enough for my kids? I, like, believe me, I don't buy organic because I don't have enough money, and I'd be able to get my kid one apple that she'd have to eat 4 days through the week.
Yeah, if I could buy a dozen organic apples, I would, but I have to go by price. I'm a price shopper.
And so it says they're teaching their kids this too, which is good, because really she is saying, like, this is a scam. This organic thing is a scam just to make more money, which you have, I mean, like you've said in the past, it's like, how come it costs more not to use pesticides? It seems like you're saving money on the pesticides.
Yeah, that cuts out a big expense.
But many people who pay the huge premiums, often more than 100% for organic foods, do so because they're afraid of pesticides. If that's their rationale, they misunderstand the nuances of organic agriculture. This is the government, Brett. This is the goddamn government. Again, messing around. Although it's true that the synthetic chemical pesticides are generally prohibited, there is a lengthy list of exceptions listed in the Organic Food Productions Act, while most natural ones are permitted. Yeah. So basically they're saying, like, that the government lets people use organic pesticides but then call it organic, right?
Right. Yeah, the thing that they're missing, and that what these intellectuals aren't brave enough to talk about, is what Roundup really means for the environment and what monoculture means for the environment. Like, this is the intellectual takeout. What they're not ordering from the menu is like the discussion about, like, insect populations and control over patents on the food that we eat. Like that makes up a way bigger debate. I mean, the organic pesticides that they use are not, you know, the things that people are up in arms about. Like, that's not what people are pissed off about, you know?
Yeah. People are pissed off at Roundup, right? We're just all mad about Monsanto, basically.
People are mad about Roundup. Really, people are around that Simplot and Monsanto are suing farmers for, you know, getting their crops, having the seeds blow from their crops into other fields and then suing those people. You know, that's the intellectual takeout, you know, for me.
That is,
but they're using it as just a dumb shit to way to say, look at all these uppity frappuccino drinking. I drink a black coffee that I get from the gas station because it's a bean at the end of the day. Thank you very much. And I think that if you're going to pay $4.50 for strawberries, you're stupid because there's ones right next to it that's $3.
I mean, the things that really piss intellectual take off the most are millennials, college students, and like bad parent, like the wrong kind of parenting. Because that's the thing I notice about it, and that's the thing that drives me crazy about it. They'll post stories about, like, are kids paralyzed by having too much stuff? Meaning, like, do they have too many Legos and too many toys and stuff, and they just can't figure out what to do? Which is, like, kind of a decent... which is kind of a decent opinion, but then the article after that will be like, these millennials want safe spaces, but they don't realize that people like saying the N-word.
Right.
Like, what do we do for the people that like saying the N-word? What are we supposed to do for them? You know, we're all trying to live our life on this planet.
Yeah, they do a bad job. I agree.
It's conservative intellectualism, which is really just like fucking permanent devil's advocate.
Yeah, and it's always...
it's like I'm just a permanent, I'll say the gross thing. Perhaps, it's like a libertarian.
Perhaps a man should own his wife. You know, like that's the type of intellectual thinking they do. They eat a little hors d'oeuvre. They eat a pretzel that's been pushed through a piece of ham and a cheese cube, and they eat that and sit on the couch and pontificate. You know, these children seem like they've never been beat by a belt before, and I find it quite troubling.
Maybe he should. Maybe a man should own his wife is exactly the type. Like, things were better when men owned their wives, especially for men.
So, like, they were so much prosperity.
Back in the age, they always bring up the like post World War II period of like, man, there was just a shit. If we could just go back to that kind of prosperity, it's like, I don't know. It turns out blowing up half the world doesn't fucking throw you into a reset. I mean, doesn't throw you into a boom time anymore because we just keep doing it and it's not working.
Yeah, we keep going back to the same well, and we're not drawing anything good out of it.
Yeah. This website pisses me off though more than like the comical conservative, more than here's another one, the arrogant ignorance of the well educated. So that's kind of one of those things where it's like they tell you why college students are really actually stupid.
And that's something that we're talking about the Donald Trump people, and it's kind of an embarrassment cuz on Twitter, you really do get a naked view of the entire world if you want it, if you're open to it. And I see these Hillary people plotting, and they're not troll accounts, and they literally get by thinking of things like Deceptive Donald, you know, and trying to think of like a weird nickname is going to change someone's mind.
They had to go from change Deceptive Donald from Dangerous Donald because Dangerous Donald sounded badass. Like,
yeah. Danger Donnie. They came up with, he's here. Yeah. Everybody's getting shots on Danger Donnie.
They came up with a badass name for their opponent, which is like not a good campaign strategy.
Horrible way to win an election.
Why don't they make his ads for him too? Why don't they fucking Photoshop him on a Harley smoking a fucking cigarette?
Yeah, regular folks though. I mean, I just still, it's so out of touch.
Yeah, I mean, Deceptive Donald's bad too, and like that, I guess, but like he doesn't seem sophisticated enough to like deception makes me think he's sophisticated. Yeah, I think he's very upfront about lying. I feel like he's very upfront about his lies.
And people aren't being deceived. You know, it's like the funny thing about it is, you know, the thing about it is they are seeing racism and these like loose talk, this like really how regular people talk. And they're not saying that it's not an intrinsically like erase this entire group of people. They're afraid of Muslims, so they came up with a whole bunch of crazy names to talk shit about them. You know, like there are Muslim refugees in the world right now, created by the United States and everything. But like that's what they're worried about, and that's all they want to have addressed. But they also, when they drink too much, they say some stupid shit, the same way that he does.
Well,
the same way, yeah, as, like they don't hate like the people that, you know, like. I don't know. You just know so many of these blowhards that like are really nice to the Mexican people that they know and shit, and they respect the hell out of them. They just have these weird, like we've always talked about in this show, we're always fighting against people's weird fears. We're fighting against someone else thinks that all these rapists and criminals are coming over the border, and it's not like that, you know? I mean, certainly crimes are being committed by these people. I'm not blinded by it, but they've just really latched onto it, and they just want someone to talk about it.
I mean, you create a permanent underclass that some of them are going to turn to crime, too, by the way.
Like, oh, absolutely.
And getting over here is hard enough that, like, you know, it's a shady move. It's kind of one of the things you talk about when you talk about, like, when you decide you're going to do drugs. And it's like, well, shit, now I'm, like, a criminal. Now I just decided that I'm a criminal. And it's really just because you want to try something. You decided you wanted to do something, but... You know, you immediately walk into a criminal world, which can lead you to doing other things, obviously.
Yeah, they make it so easy to step right into it. Yeah, and like, I mean, that's just, it's just the regular folks out there are, not a menace. I mean, in real life, they're so embarrassing, but. The fact that they're getting out there and that they've have like some sort of a major candidate still to see these elite people and all of these clueless fucking idiots that have no clue what the world is like. You see that they, like even this underclass of people, they had no, you know, they just assumed they weren't paying attention. You know, they thought that thought that people that want Donald Trump to win were just like watching football with a beer helmet on.
Yeah. No, they're watching Donald Trump talk. I think the other thing is like when you hear Hillary Clinton talk, you like she talks like it's like when they got pissed at Mitt Romney, you know, and guys like Mitt Romney or Hillary and women like Hillary Clinton, any of these people, they talk like politicians. And those are the people that fuck us over every single time. So, of course, somebody comes out like even Bernie Sanders doesn't really talk like a politician. I mean, I still see him as a politician, and I think he gives like, I mean, but he sounds more unpolished, you know, and I think that's one of the things that like grabbed a hold of people for him too. It's just like, it's just, man, these polished politicians are the ones that fuck us over, and they feel like an elite class. They feel like a monarchy. Like the Clintons and the Bushes feel like monarchy to me at this point. Like pretty
Definitely.
Much my whole life, there's Clintons and Bushes everywhere.
It's aristocracy. We're stuck worshiping these people that are in these elite families. We've given up all hope that, you know, anybody but the most privileged people in the world can become president in some way, you know, that have to go like, through these elite channels.
Like where it's somebody's fucking turn to be president, like where Hillary Clinton, it's just her turn. Oh, no, it's I mean, she gets to run. That's just the way it is. It's her turn. You know?
Yeah, I'm still big. I mean, this July 4th, if you're flying a flag, that's embarrassing to me. Like I just there's so little to be proud of when it comes to like the election. You know, I love being here and all that. But like, I mean, every day that it just keeps going on, and I keep hearing people talking about it. People aren't melting down. I mean, there just still isn't like, you know, no one is in the streets like throwing fits or anything yet.
I'm making a flag for this 4th of July with a fucking asterisk like in the bottom corner to be like, but I'm not like really that proud now. I'm just doing a decoration thing.
You need to, yeah, put a big asterisk on it.
Just a little one in the bottom
America
corner.
Butt.
Just a little...
America Butt. America Butt with some changes is what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, not Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton America. Like, that's what the damn, if people weren't so sensitive about that fucking flag, man, that's what we could be selling flags with an asterisk on them. But if you want a flag with an asterisk on it, I'll make that happen for you. You know,
yeah, maybe that's what
donate to the Patreon.
That's
and
our
I'll
like
send it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that should be our olive branch to the other side. Is like, this is what we'll sign up for. Like, we'll take America, but with like the asterisk of we don't like get owned by America.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll take America as a voluntary association, and we would like it if America would please follow the NAP, the non-aggression principle. Please. Okay? That's what we've chosen.
Dude, actually, I have a really good thing that you just said about the criminal. I read this James Baldwin book recently, and I took a picture of this. And this quote made me laugh, and I go back and read it. But it says, it turned out then that summer that the moral barriers that I had supposed to exist between me and the dangers of a criminal career were so tenuous as to be nearly non-existent. Like, there's... You know what I mean? Like, you're step into crime. Like, you know, when you, like you said, doing drugs or, you know, you want to get, you know, they're hiring in America. Illegal immigrants are providing a lot of labor to the textile industry in California, to the produce, all in that area in Texas, in, you know, all the South and everything. And those people are criminals, but, you know, like the law turns them in, like they're needed. Like, that's the only way we can get that the system gets by. But at the same time, they immediately become criminals.
Yeah. The law. I mean, as soon as you make a law, you make a bunch of criminals. I guess
it's
like
bogus, man. It's just bogus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just the line there is so, I mean, they really trust that line on the map. But I guess it is, you know, one side of it's a little safer than the other side when it comes
to
the actual border, you know.
Right. No, I mean, that's what they're looking for. It's a matter of saying, like, this is where we're at. We want to protect. We were basically born. We were lucky enough to be born onto this team of America. So now it's manifest destiny and we get to kill the rest of the world.
Yeah, that should be alarming, though. That would be the thing that would freak me out a little bit about it.
What?
Like, you just it seems like it would be alarming.
People seem to be into it, man. I think that like that, this is the biggest thing. I want to be Street Fight to be a place for radical thinking. But when we say a lot of this stuff out loud, we immediately make enemies amongst folks that like want to force us to be in their like State of the Union shit. You know,
do you want
to
make
us,
you know what I
in
do?
Their crummy ass, like misogynistic, weird taxation, poor creation, bullshit world.
Yeah. You know what works a lot, though, is like if you peel the Band-Aid off, if you're like, OK, let's have a conversation. And we're starting from two different places here. OK, person that I'm talking to at a let's just say a July 4th cookout, like we're having this conversation about the election. And it's like, I want to start this conversation by saying, like, I do not care about it. I don't like America. Like, I'm anti-America. Now let's move on to the next part.
Yeah, but that takes too much time to explain that, man. That takes up your whole fourth. But that's a good 4th of July,
like,
though, man.
Then
if you
you're
just
like,
hold court for 4 hours about disliking America.
You're like, fucking ask me a question, dude. Ask me anything. Ask me, like, why don't I like America? Like, I'll tell you that I don't like George Washington. Like, I don't care. Like, I think the brand is tainted. And I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's done a lot of bad stuff, man. If you look it up, it's just got too many problems.
Yeah. Too many fucking strikes against it, man.
And especially, you know, if it's going to be like the same players, man. Like, you know, if we were going to switch it up and have an influx of candidates and representatives that seem like normal folks that aren't secretly reptiles on the inside, then, like, you know, I would be game. That's my America with the asterisk is, like, shape it up. Start looking at everybody in the world as having value. Start looking at lives, you know, as if they mean something. Don't worry about gorillas as much as, you know, more than you do children around the world. And that's true. Fucking get your shit together.
Yeah, get your fucking shit together, man. And maybe, like, we're saying, like, America.
Make me
want
to join. Make me want to join. Make me be proud of it. Like, make it, don't force me to abide by all the rules and then punish me for going against it. Make me want to be a part of it.
Fucking sell me this, man. Put up an ad in the goddamn Subway and tell me, like, why do I like this, you know?
Get your fucking, like, America card. It's accepted at every hospital. You can go and get care. You know, like, damn, yeah. I'm fucking joining America.
Yeah, they would never make it voluntary. That's the issue. That, like, if you make it voluntary, one of the big problems with it is that a lot of, like, a guy like me would be like, eh, nah, I'm out.
They lose a lot, like, of people. Worried. The people we do it for is not even a minority, man. It's, you know, 33% of people going to vote for Trump. 34% of people are going to go for Hillary Clinton. Maybe it goes vice versa. But there's another 33% of us out there that don't want to be involved in this shit. We're on the sidelines. We just need to walk the fuck away. We just need to turn around and take our asses somewhere else besides their little spat amongst rich fucking New York City Manhattanites.
Yeah, or even like what I guess Hillary Clinton's Arkansas. Arkansas, are they from Arkansas?
Hillary Clinton's from New York City.
Is she really? Yeah, she's got that vibe. Or Washington D.C. One of the two, one of the cities.
Well,
she's
she was
from
the senator. She did the government in New York City, like in the New.
Yeah,
New York.
I mean, but that's, once you're a famous politician, you can get in like the Senate. New York is like the most prestigious. Like, that's the one you go to run, you know, Brett? Like, if you want to go to a proving ground, you're
no,
like,
no, it shows you can carry a big hog. It shows that you can, yeah, take a, you can handle a big hog.
Yeah, that's why you go running. That's what I'm going to fucking do. Once we get famous enough, I'm going to become the governor of New York. Like, that's in my long-term plans. That's on my dream sheet.
I'm watching this show with my wife called The Heart of Dixie, and there's a really small-time mayor that's like the most giggliest, smiliest, cheekiest guy, and I'm like, I want to be a fucking mayor. I just want to be a fucking mayor right now.
Yeah, there's a documentary on Netflix about this this town of like 24 people that these Nazis decide they're gonna move in and take over the town. It's in like North Dakota. And like I didn't actually even finish watching the movie. I know it didn't end up happening. But, like, the mayor of the town was at war with the Nazis and was, like, he was just the nicest guy in the world. It was just a town of 24 people, and if they needed some damn help, the mayor helped them. You know, if it fucking snowed, he went and plowed the streets for the 24 people that live there. And it's like, damn, man, yeah, small town mayor, that's what I want to be. That sounds right. That's a perfect fucking job for me.
Neighborhood mayor is what you need to be.
Like, no, like a village, like a fucking, like, move to a village. Like, I grew up near the village of Groveport. It's just a fucking teeny tiny little village, man. Mayor the hell out of that place. Deal with all the mayor problems. Like, it's not big time politics. Everybody just kind of trusts you. Like, I want to be like the guy, they're like, oh, he's the mayor. I guess I would also be the leader of the homeowners association, I guess.
Hell no, that's an abomination, man.
That's not a mayor. That's not exactly like being the mayor of a small town.
Well, I guess for anally retentive people, I guess that want to live in kind of those strict, they want to feel like they came off of a production line. I guess I am pro homeowner association. If they're looking for that TV life, if they want that box life, that McMansion shit.
But what if a homeowners association was like, what if it was a cool one that like got you health insurance and stuff like that?
Or helped you get a skate park in the back?
Yeah, I'll be that person, man. God damn!
Yeah, I mean,
you're
changing
the mayor?
What homeowner says. You're changing the rules on them.
That's true. That's true. Can you imagine being like the mayor of the town you grew up in, Brett? Like the mayor of Reynoldsburg, Ohio, where it's like, fuck, I got a little bit of pool here, man. Like I got a little bit of area. I'm the fucking mayor. That's a fucking prestigious job for me.
See. But it's all budget shit, man, and raising, like, it's just, it seems like it should just be more of, like, getting roads fixed, like, taking care of, you know, the shit that's going on around town.
Cutting ribbons?
No, not cutting ribbons, man, that's too, that's not, like getting your hands dirty, man. I believe that like the person that's at the top should be a leader. They shouldn't be a boss. Like they shouldn't just be telling people what to do. They should be like showing people what to do with their actions, like guiding people. Like when you talk about being the fucking general when it comes to moving, you know, or like the mayor guy you were talking about in the small town where like if it snows, he's just someone. This guy I work with that works at the fucking customs office, he runs shit in this whole apartment complex. He has some weird system, but everybody's like under a spell. And like we all know each other and he knows shit that's going on. He has all the information and can coordinate almost anything you want to happen in the air in this whole apartment complex. And he's like good for it. He's fair. He's not an asshole or in your face, but some people are just more suited for that, I think.
Damn. So why aren't you that guy?
I don't know, man. I'm a clutch player.
Yeah. It feels like sometimes like you would be great at something like that. Like you'd be a bus driver. You could be a,
that's a plan. Like, no, I will do that. I think for that's me,
I will.
The only thing I want to do is be of service. I really like, I know Street Fight seems like a vanity thing or a fame thing. I'm not trying to be like MTV with it. It's really just a matter of expressing myself. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to be able to do it the way that we want to make it authentic as hell and, you know, real and not compromised in any way. But like, I don't know. I would love to run an organization of people and at the same time, just provide a service. I really believe my brand of anarchy is like taking out the trash anarchy. Like when I'm telling you people that I want to spread all the power to all people, that means I'm not going to tell you how to spread the power. I'm just going to pick up the trash like once a week. Like that's like, I'll do that stuff. You know, I'll fill in roads and swing hammers and shit. I'm not really looking to be the leader of anything or push paperwork. Bus drivers, I am passionate. Like public transportation is something I'm passionate about. And driving the bus is a wild ass job in a lot of ways, which I think I can handle. And it is like important. And you get paid a decent amount of money.
Yeah. You get to hang out with people all day. That's the weird thing. It's like when I started doing the Lyft thing, people were like, oh, you're going to be around people all day. I'm like, I like to be around people. I don't mind being around people. I'm not an antisocial person. I don't like bars. Oh,
yeah.
God. It's not, you don't want like people? Not the only fucking place where people are.
That's true. That's people. You don't like it when we just start screaming about like old music.
Yeah, guy. I mean, I can't see you being around. I can't see you being fucking jovial. It's like, oh yeah, fucking. We're sitting at a place where the whole object of the thing is to just get drunk and yell. And I'm high. I can't stand this yelling. I can't fucking stand it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. People, you know, definitely read you the wrong way in that regard. And I respect, it's obvious. You have the case there.
I'll go to any other place. I'll go to fucking ComFest, I go to Red White, I go to places where there's fucking crowds. I don't mind it. I don't mind being around crowds. I just don't want to be around fucking drunks. I don't go to bars. It's just not fun. It's too loud. People that smoke weed don't like bars. That's just the way it is, man.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't add to the vibe usually. I mean, yeah, there's just not a way to make something that much noise, that much cacophony of sound, just bouncing off everything. But it makes alcohol so much better. Like the ringing in your head matches the level of excitement outside, and it's like you feel like you're invincible, like you're immortal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. I think we're going to cut it today.
That price is way too high. That show is way too long. You need to cut it.
You need to cut it. We're so busy. Like,
cut it.
I hate to. We don't like to do the, like, only an hour. We like to give a little bit more. But, like, we're working on this live show, and I think everybody's going to love it. And it's exhausting. It's it can be a bit exhausting.
Yeah, I definitely have been really bad. I've been an asshole. I have, you know, a lot of my shit together. I started throwing around some iron recently back to kettlebells and have been eaten in a non-regrettable way. But I'm still have to fight with a lot of like personal demons as far as performing goes, as far as like growing into this new place. And this, and like, it's just, it fucked with me over the weekend quite a bit. And you know, it's, the show's going to be awesome. That's not going to be reflective anything of it, but it is taking a lot out of us, and we are completely stressing and also getting super excited about what we're putting together. You know, every time we write, even though we have a bunch of foibles, everything that's coming together is going to be amazing. So I think everybody's going to be blown away.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you guys like it. And I think with this, yeah, the stuff we're working on, I think you're going to love it. I think the listeners of this show are going to be fans.
Yeah, it's going to be a grand slam. It's going to be everything you want it to be. And I am stoked about it. It's just, you know, I always try to give you the behind the scenes and everything that's going on. And I mean, it's a lot of work, and you know, I got to make flyers and got to get this shit going. So thank you to everybody that's gotten us here so far. It really means everything. And the money goes a long way. We do pay for a lot of different things, hosting on our own website, hosting on SoundCloud, payment for social media items, payment for all kinds of fees. And, you know, to rent these spaces out to go live is going to cost us money. So any financial support you can give to Street Fight is a huge help. I know that money is tight. I mean, Street Fight talks about it, you know, every night that we can. I mean, all the time we tell you about it. So we know that money's tight, but if you got $1 to $5, to share with us, please do that. Patreon.com/Street Fight Radio is the place to do it. If you're not familiar with it, patreon.com. Patreon is a place where you can support artists, for putting out work, and it's real convenient. Set it up, you know, once a month, they'll charge your card, do it on your payday. And we'll get the money, and we'll use it for, you know, spreading the word about Street Fight, spreading some more dissent, and being a place for radical thought. Above anything, we just want to be an open environment that is unlike anything else on the air, and that's what we aim to be. And you know, it's been 5 years in the making, and we're glad you're here.
Yeah, we love you guys, and I say guys, and women. Okay,
gals.
We love you all. Yeah, gals, women, guys, everybody. We love everybody.
Yeah, it's amazing. It means a lot to us, and we're ready to take it to the next level. You can find us online. Of course, if you want, please pay attention. June 10th at 7 p.m., even this weekend, we're going to be on that Periscope, I think, as we go out and flyer. Maybe why we do this interview, you never know. So stay tuned on Twitter, Street Fight WCRS, StreetFightWCRS. That's the best community radio shows in Columbus, Ohio. And that's why they're in our handle there and on our Periscope. So follow us, and we'll give you updates as we move along this path. You can find us facebook.com/streetfightwcrs as well. And then on Instagram, I share pictures and, you know, videos, information, parking lot promos, whatever it may be. It happens over there on Instagram, Street Fight Radio. You can find Brian. He's on Twitter at MurderBrian, MurderBryan. Give him a follow. Give me a follow over there on Twitter. It's BrettPain. And if you're on Snapchat or Instagram, the name is the same. Once again, at Brett Payne. Snapchat, you get the behind the scenes. You get the motivational shit. So if you're into that at all, you want to get pumped up with me, that's what I'm taking care of over there. And, you know, as always, we appreciate it. We'll see you next week in Street Fight. Peace.
Drone bomb me. Blow me from the mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the side of the mountain. Blow my head off. Explode my crystal guts. Lay my purple on the grass. I have a glint in my eye. I wanna die. I wanna be the apple of your eye. So drone bomb me,
drone bomb me,
blow me from the mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the side of the mountain, blow my head off. Blow my crystal guts. Lay my purple on the grass.
Lay my purple on the grass.
Let me be the first. I'm not so innocent. Let me be. That you choose from above.
After all,
I'm partly to blame. So drone bomb me, blow me from the mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the mountains to the sea. I'm not so innocent. I blow my head out, explode my crystal guts. Night.